and thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's September 2022, and this is episode 305, which is a conversation about witch talk. Witches are now reaching a younger generation via social media sites like TikTok. On this episode, I'm joined by Lindsay Madden-Walt, who is Director of Ministry Operations at Mama Bear Apologetics. She also serves as a consulting editor for the Christian Research Journal. Lindsay has a master's in apologetics and ethics from Denver Seminary, a JD from St. Mary's School of Law, and a master's in public administration from Midwestern State University. Lindsay has written an effective evangelism article for our print edition, which is upcoming, and that is volume 45, number 2, and 3 of the Christian Research Journal. Her article is called Witch Talk, Sorcery at Your Fingertips, Why the Trend is Harmful and How to Respond. You can read her article when you subscribe to the journal at equip.org. If you already subscribe, your issue will come right to your door. Lindsay, it's good to have you on again.
Hey, Melanie, it's great to be back.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating conversation today because it involves religion and TikTok. Now, some of you might have heard of TikTok or maybe don't use the app, but the app itself has been downloaded 3 billion times and has more than a billion actual users. This is all over the world. It is an app that has been developed in China, so it is a Chinese app, but it's mostly used to quite some popularity everywhere, but also in North America and the United States in particular. And it's especially popular among the Gen Z generation. So they tend to appeal to younger users, and it is usually kids between the ages of 16 and 24, and that's about 41% of its users. So almost half of their users are teenagers and early 20s in the Gen Z generation. And among those users, they say that they use TikTok daily, about 90%. So that's quite a high number. But I also want to talk about something that's called a hashtag that people use on social media. Now, if you don't know what a hashtag is, and back when I first got on Twitter in 2009, I had to ask somebody, what's a hashtag? It's the pound sign and then a topic or a subject or a word. So someone can go onto basically any social media site, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, and put in that hashtag of whatever they're looking for. So the pound sign and a word, and come up with all kinds of content about that subject. So it could be anything from, you know, a hobby or even apologetics, but also other religious things like witchcraft. So I want to talk specifically about what's being called witch talk, which means just witches that are using a social media platform to get their message out. And so tell me a little bit about witch talk, what it is, and how popular is it, especially with the majority of the younger users on TikTok?
I have to be honest with you, Melanie. I was not on TikTok before this article, and I kind of fought against it. I don't have social media on my phone, and so I just really avoided TikTok. I was not interested in watching short videos. I didn't think I fell into that 18 to 24 crowd, and I don't. I'm 41, full disclosure. And I just wasn't the target audience. So when I got this assignment, I thought, well, okay, I guess it's time to take that plunge. And I don't want anybody listening thinking, oh, I don't even know what a hashtag is. I really didn't know much about hashtags either, but there are hashtags all over social media, and especially over TikTok. It makes it a lot easier to look for topics. And so I do appreciate hashtags. And this hashtag is super popular. When they're saying that young people are spending time on TikTok every day, we're talking 75 minutes or more a day usually. And that's a lot of TikTok videos, because most TikTok videos are about 15 seconds long. And if you're just watching video after video after video, you are consuming massive quantities of information in a short amount of time. And kids are getting on TikTok and just absorbing what they're seeing. This hashtag, witch talk, is explicitly about witchcraft. It's not only people who profess to be Wiccan or witches. It is people who are interested in the practice of witchcraft, or maybe they want to become a witch and they want to know how to do that. The people in videos on TikTok are strangely accessible. You watch them and you don't think that they're celebrities necessarily or too famous for you. Like, you could be sitting in their living room having a conversation with them. They're often recording their videos in their kitchens or on their couches and at their kitchen tables. And so it's really accessible for all people. It's not just men or women. It's a mix of the two. And the videos are eye-catching. The music is usually catchy and fun. And you really want to dive into what you're watching. And if you're interested in witchcraft, these videos are very crafty. They get you and they pull you in. And I found myself watching hours of witch talk at every day while I was researching this topic. I really got pulled in by it, not by the content or adopting it into my life, but I got to know some of the TikTok creators and I wanted to know more about their lives. And so I found myself going to their TikTok pages and learning more about who they are and how they got involved in witchcraft and why they do witch talk and what they're trying to give as their message. It's super popular, like you mentioned, about 27 billion views on the hashtag alone, and it's growing. It's got so much potential for TikTok in this area. People are really interested, and it's not just the hashtag witch talk that's popular. It's actually hashtags like baby witch or teenage witch that are also growing exponentially. So the point is that witchcraft is trending on TikTok, and teenagers and young people are super interested in it because they're looking for connection. They're also looking to deepen their own spirituality. And for them, that might be found in something like witchcraft. So that's why it's so popular, I think, because they really are looking for connection and they feel like they can find it through the creators on Witch Talk.
I would say some of the older generations, maybe even some millennials who are now 40. So we used to think of millennials being so old, but they're now 40 and they have kids and everything. And Gen X and baby boomers, they're probably not as tuned into TikTok. And it's interesting, just this year in the first quarter of 2022, in the United States alone, there were 100 million active users. So it's people who are using the app almost every day. And the average user opened that app 17 times a day. That is a lot of times. And you're right, most of the video content is only 15 seconds long, and it's gotten, if anyone uses social media, and I do use social media, it gets you used to that kind of format. And so other platforms like Instagram have also adopted that same short format. And it seems to me now sometimes I'm thinking, if you can't tell me what you need to say in 15 seconds, then it's too long, you know? I mean, because we've gotten used to that format that everyone is adopting, whether it's shorts on YouTube or reels on Instagram, and then TikTok really is a platform for younger people. I don't think the older generations tend to be on Facebook and other places, but not on TikTok in general. So that should give some parents pause that, you know, people spend as much, as you were saying, you know, up to an hour a day on it, but to think that they're opening the app on an average of 17 times in a day, that's quite a bit. So what are some of the things that people are seeing, that viewers are seeing when they are looking at Witch Talk or going to that hashtag and going in the stream of everything about witches? What are some of the things that are being offered up?
I was really surprised the first time that I looked for the hashtag Witch Talk. I really didn't know what to expect. So my expectations were pretty blank slated. And I realized very quickly that there is just a wide range of information that people can access on this hashtag. So some of it is really simple, like how to decorate your home with witchy things. That especially becomes popular, I imagine, around Halloween, where people want to know how to decorate their homes for Halloween. I also saw lots of ideas about cauldrons or altars and how to create altars for deities. You can find basic historical information from TikTok creators about paganism and Wicca, and you can learn about where those worldviews sort of developed and how they developed. I can't guarantee that all of what you find on TikTok, like any other avenue of social media, is going to be reliable, but you can find a lot of information about it. You can learn about different deities and goddesses that are prevalent in Wicca and paganism. And then you'll find people who are clarifying that witches aren't Satanists and how different those worldviews are. And I think that's important for us as we continue this conversation, is we're not talking about Satanism. We're talking about witchcraft and Wicca. But what I really was interested in as I was progressing deeper and deeper into this hashtag is that it went from pretty simple decorations to, oh, now I'm noticing things like talking about hexing and other things that are maybe familiar to our listeners regarding the New Age movement, like karma is talked about quite frequently, or the use of crystals. So for example, viewers can find help with crystals. Crystals, for those who don't know, crystals are typically used for physical or emotional or spiritual healing. It's said that crystals have certain properties that can contribute to these things for people who believe in these worldviews. And so on this hashtag, you can find ways to use crystals for particular things, and also how to charge crystals, which help you with healing chakras and increasing your positive vibrations. It should all sound New Agey because it is New Agey. It's definitely from the New Age movement, but it's also prevalent in witchcraft. Another thing, and I think this is where people will often be caught off guard, because we don't think that you can create your own, but tarot cards are prevalent on Witch Talk. And there are explicit instructions on how to make your own tarot card decks. Tarot cards are used to find things out about your past or your present or your future. And essentially there's 22 cards in a deck, and you ask a question and somebody flips the cards and they give you a reading. Tarot card readings are offered on TikTok, sometimes for donations. And then viewers can learn how to read their own cards and to make their own decks. And some of the decks are very intricate and in some ways very beautiful to look at, which can be enticing for particularly young people who might not understand the consequences of dealing with magic and witchcraft like that. Along with tarot decks comes astrology. You'll find a lot of astrology on the Witch Talk hashtag. Astrology probably has its own hashtag, but that doesn't mean you won't find it on Witch Talk. Viewers of TikTok might not know the word Psychic Friends Network, but I definitely do. I'm old enough to remember turning on the television and seeing psychics telling you to call this 900 number and to pay money to get a psychic reading. Now those psychic readings are being offered through Witch Talk and on TikTok, and it's sometimes free. You don't have to call a number, and it's right on your phone. So it's super convenient for young people to access astrology. Then we get darker, Melanie. It gets to a place where you become uneasy watching the videos as a Christian or somebody who doesn't want to think about dark magic. There is a lot of hexing that happens on Witch Talk. Hexing is when you place a curse on someone, essentially. I guess that's the easiest way to describe hexing. And I saw a lot of hexings that I'm not going to describe in detail on this podcast because I don't want to give them energy. But I will say that there's a lot. And you can hex for basically anything bad that somebody has done to you. Most of the videos that I watched actually came with a warning about karma and a warning that said that when you hex somebody, you're potentially going to have that come back to you 3, 7, or 10-fold. For me, that was an acknowledgement that this is a dark and potentially dangerous practice to be engaged in. And it was a warning, and my red flags went up, and I said, oh, I wish everyone on Witch Talk had this warning, because it's not so much that you believe in karma. and that the bad things are going to come back to you because you've done something wrong, but it's that you yourself are doing something wrong. And they are acknowledging that hexing is something that is wrong. And then finally, I learned how to make a book of shadows. And I did not know that I was going to learn that on Witch Talk. A book of shadows is, for those who don't know a lot about witchcraft, is basically your manual of magic. And it includes what rituals or spells you use. It also can contain some astrological information. And it might include herbology, because herbs are used quite often in witchcraft. And so it'll tell you how to use herbs in particular ways. But essentially, what I think the listeners need to walk away with is knowing that, yes, there are simple things on Witch Talk, like how to decorate your home with witchy things. But then there are really dark, kind of scary things that you will find. And they're catching people's eyes, even the eyes of Christians.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Journal. As always, we are very grateful for the ways in which you partner with us, because we wouldn't be here without you. And the best way you can help us out is, of course, to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. If you like this magazine and this content, let people know about our magazine, because it is really a great deal that you get the print edition right to your door, plus online access to all of our exclusive articles, book reviews, film reviews, and television series reviews at our website, and that's for $33.50. The other way that you can help us out is simply tell a friend. But even better yet, if you could help us out with the algorithm and give us a review at Apple Podcasts, a starred review is great, but even better than that is a short one or two sentence reason why you listen to this podcast. It helps other people who are interested in this content find our material through the algorithm suggesting our podcast to them. But we'd also like you to give us a tip if a subscription is not in your budget right now. And you can do that at our website, equip.org. You'll see the word journal there. Click on that. You'll see Postmodern Realities. Go to any of the episode landing pages and you'll find a link where you can give us a tip. And thank you. Your partnership does mean so much to us. So it is interesting that some of the things you can see in the hashtag Witch Talk stream is people claiming to be Christian witches. So what is a Christian witch and what is their worldview? How are they combining witchcraft and Christianity?
This might be the first time that people are hearing the term Christian witch. I know for me, I was not prepared for it. And then I found a whole bunch of them on Witch Talk. They are there. And what unites them is that they profess to praise Jesus, but also to practice witchcraft. And they don't see those two things as conflicting ideas and own it and say, yep, I believe in Jesus, but I also like to do spells and I believe in astrology and I will hex some people sometimes. And for someone listening who is a Christian, they might be really caught off by that notion of, can I believe in Jesus truly following his ways and also practice witchcraft? And the easy answer is no, but I think it deserves a little bit more of information and time spent. So what are Christian witches professing besides just the simple, I believe in Jesus and witchcraft? I would say that they believe that Jesus is not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, like he's described in 1 Timothy 6:15, where it describes him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They instead would acknowledge Jesus as another deity. And he's just somebody else that we can make an altar to and worship. And he is not Lord of all. And I think that many of the Christian witches that you would find on Witch Talk would agree with the fact that they would say they think the same way of God. God is referred to as a higher power by many witches on Witch Talk, but he's not the highest power to them. And that is how scripture describes him. And I actually wanted to give you that verse so that we could support that. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. On which talk, God is not exalted above all, Melanie. He's just another deity, and he's just someone that they worship, but they don't really hold as the highest power of all or even their creator. Another thing that I saw amongst Christian witches is that they don't find the Bible reliable. Skepticism is pretty prevalent on witch talk, which is interesting to me for many reasons. I wish they were more skeptical about some of the things that they profess as true, but they, on the whole, do not believe that the Bible was inspired by God and that it is a reliable text. They buy into the rumors, which are not true, that are professed by some celebrities that say that the Bible is just a translation of a translation of a translation. This is a pretty common argument given if you spend any time in apologetics. And so the response to that is that we know that there are people who have spent their lives studying this and studying the manuscripts and the languages, and they have come to the conclusion that any variations or variants that exist in scripture don't actually affect the essential Christian beliefs. One of the people that they follow is Bart Ehrman. And by they, I mean those on TikTok and Witch Talk. A lot of them have read his pretty popular book about the New Testament and the reliability. Bart Ehrman is a New Testament scholar, but he was a Christian and he is no longer a Christian. And I would say that most of the Christian witches that I watch Ehrman and subscribe to the things that he said. But even Ehrman has admitted that, yes, there are all these variations, but they are not affecting the essential core Christian doctrines that we hold to be true. And then you get other New Testament people like Craig Blomberg, who have studied this for decades, and they also affirm there are variants, but it's over thousands and thousands of manuscripts, and it's being overstated here that the Bible is translation of a translation of a translation, because it's just not. And then finally, some Christian witches have the belief that because God created everything, if we held that to be true, that means that he wouldn't be against witchcraft. I had to spend quite a bit of time thinking this one through, because if you took it to its ultimate conclusion, then you would say that God is okay with all the bad things. And you would say, okay, well, rape and murder and all those things aren't really bad either, because God created everything. And I just can't join them in that conclusion, because the problem is that, Melanie, we live in a fallen world. And anybody who's read the narrative in Genesis, we know that we were created in God's image, and through our own free choices, we fell. And although God created something that was very good, it's become distorted and corrupted. And because of that, we are in desperate need of a savior. And thankfully, God gave us his son to do that for us. But that doesn't mean that everything that exists in the world is good and is condoned by God. In fact, the Bible explicitly condemns witchcraft. Witchcraft is not good, and God does not approve, even though he created the world. And when he created it, it was very good.
Well, I'm sure that some of our listeners are having some pause here and feeling a little nervous, because they might have a teenager or a young person or a kid in their home, or know of someone in their family that's younger that really enjoys being on TikTok, and then could stumble across Witch Talk and kind of go deeper like you did as you explored that hashtag. So I want to talk specifically about how Christians can respond to this. I mean, it seems a bit overwhelming. I mean, you can go from home decor all the way down into spells against other people. So where should Christians start? Maybe for parents, how do we know if our kids are finding it interesting to look at different religions or things like Witch Talk on TikTok?
So I want to encourage any Christian who's listening to start with themselves before we start even thinking about witchcraft or TikTok or witch talk, because like you said, it can become such an overwhelming thing. And I have to admit that it gets really difficult for me sometimes to research these topics because it can feel very spiritually heavy. And I do want Christians to take a pause, but I want them to start to think about their own spiritual habits. I'm a children's pastor by day, and I do it full time, and I love it. And last month, I spent the month on Sundays talking to the kids at church about spiritual habits and spiritual discipline and how we can incorporate spiritual habits into our lives. We should be praying every day. We should be reading the word every day. We should be going to church on Sundays. We should being in community. We should be in community with other Christians who can be with us and do life with us. And as Christians, we need to gut check ourselves and ask us, do we have spiritual habits and what are they? For me, when we are engaging with potentially dark topics, I always encourage people to start with prayer and studying scripture. It's really, really important. And I think prayer is often the last line of defense when it should be the first. When I first started studying the New Age movement many years ago now, it seems like yesterday, but it wasn't yesterday, and witchcraft, which I started studying a few years ago, I actually talked to one of my mentors, Doug Rotice, because like I said, it can start to feel very spiritually heavy and it can take you to some dark places. And I was very concerned for my own well-being and also the well-being of my family as I read books about witchcraft and brought those books into my home from the library. And how do I deal with that? And he gave me such sound advice that I'm going to take a second and give that advice to the listeners, because I think it's really important that we listen to this advice. He said that I should memorize Psalm 91 and that I should pray it often. And that is actually where I advise listeners to begin, with Psalm 91. And I'm not going to take us through the whole thing because that would probably take me an hour and I'd start preaching on it. But I do want to read a couple of the highlights, and I'm reading them just so that I don't misspeak. But Psalm 91 starts with, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Melanie, that says a lot right off the bat. We're putting our full trust in God. We celebrate Him as the Most High. He is our shelter and He is our refuge. And it doesn't stop there. So in verse 3, it says, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence." In other words, the best way to describe it is He's our ultimate safe space. And I think that anybody growing up right now would understand that that means. My daughter has a safe space in her classroom that she tells us about. And God is our ultimate safe space. He is by our side. And it says that if we trust God as our refuge, no harm will overtake us. No disaster will come near us. He will command His angels concerning us to guard us in our ways, and they will lift us up in their hands. And finally, God promises us this: "He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Melanie, I remember when I was a missionary kid, I memorized this whole scripture, Psalm 91, and I memorized it in song. And I actually still have it memorized. It's an old school song and it's kind of hokey. And I'm not going to sing it. I will spare the listeners that. But it has stuck with me. And when Dr. Grotius advised me to memorize it again, I took it and I did it. And I repeat it often. And the reason why I'm encouraging our listeners to memorize Psalm 91 is that this is a real thing. Spiritual battles are real. And when we're engaging with things like witch talk, even if it's the minor things that we talked about, like decorations, it can easily slip into more. And we need to be constantly reminding ourselves that God is our refuge and we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to be afraid to engage with these things, but we also don't need to be afraid if others are engaging in them. We can take it head on because God is our God and He is the ultimate protector of our beings and that He loves us. And I think when parents find out that their kids are engaging in things like witch talk or any of the number of other things that they can get involved in on TikTok, they need to remind themselves that God is their refuge and they need to remind their kids, hey, God loves you and He cares for you. And then that second portion of prayer. So now you've memorized Psalm 91. You can pray that every day. And that is a beautiful prayer to pray. But also praying before engaging in anything outside of Scripture. And we know that witchcraft is outside of Scripture. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And this should be the case every time we try to tackle a topic like this. We want to guard our hearts. And the best way to do that is to ask the Holy Spirit to protect us and to keep us safe. So that's where I would tell Christians to start, which might be an unconventional thing. But when I deal with apologetics or world religions or any worldview, this has been consistently the place where God reminds me to begin, because I think it can be so easily overlooked.
So one thing I want to point out that I mentioned in the introduction is that Lindsay has written this as an evangelism article. So it's meant to equip us to engage with people who either practice witchcraft or are dabbling in it. And so once, you know, someone has prayed and they have memorized scripture and they're preparing to engage in basically occult practices, is there any else that they should study to learn more about witchcraft? And especially before engaging, you know, one-to-one with somebody that claims to be a Christian witch or anybody that is using witch talk or looking into witch talk or watching videos about it. And I do want to tell our listeners about two articles that we have that are free online at our website, equip.org, that they might be interested in. One is called Modern Witchcraft, It May Not Be What You Think, and it's an in-depth feature article about witchcraft. And then the other one is addressing some of the issues that we were just talking about, people who claim to be Christians and witches, and that's a feature article called Infiltrated, Recognizing and Responding to Occultism in Your Church, because some people bring these occultic practices into church. So what are some real practical things that people can do as they think about witnessing to somebody who is interested in witchcraft or is looking into witch talk?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely there in church. And I think sometimes Christians think that the church is immune or that people who attend church are immune from these things. But I remember having a seminary professor tell us about some of the members in his family who are professing Christians and engaged in the church, but then they also use crystals to do any number of things in their lives. And so there's that disconnect, and we should be able to spot that disconnect when it arises. But this is a tough question because I don't really want to send anybody to go check out witchcraft from their local library. And I don't want them to purchase magical books on the internet so that they can learn more about witchcraft. So my biggest thing is to send people to sources like this from the Christian Research Journal, where we are equipping you with the information you need so that you don't have to do a deep dive into the primary sources. We've done the deep dive and we're giving you that information so that you don't have to. And I think there are many sources that are reliable and trusted that can give you a good overview of what to expect on witch talk or with witchcraft. But if you're going to talk to somebody about witchcraft, as with any evangelical engagement, I would say work on your listening skills. So one of my favorite stories about Francis Schaeffer was he would get into a conversation with an unbeliever, and if he had an hour to spend with them, he would spend 55 minutes asking them questions about themselves and why they believe what they believe and where they're coming from spiritually or what kind of experiences they've had in their lives. And then he'd spend the last 5 minutes speaking truth. And so that's a beautiful lesson that I think all of us can learn from. Listening well takes practice, but Christians should possess that skill. If we are going to be engaging anyone and speaking the gospel with anyone. And we should be, because the Bible tells us to do so. We need to be prepared to be good listeners. Christ called us to be peacemakers. And so when we participate in conversations about anything, we should strive to present truth in peaceful ways. Listening well is a really easy way to do that. We shouldn't just pretend to listen. I think sometimes we fall into this rhythm where we're getting ready to say whatever truth bomb we want to drop, and we forget to actually listen to what the person is telling us, and we miss a moment. And so I want to encourage our listeners to truly listen to the person that they're speaking with, because this is an opportunity to be like Christ. Christ listened well to the people in front of him, and then he asked them good questions. And I think listening well allows you to move on to the next area of conversation.
So if some Christians are engaging with somebody that is involved in witchcraft or dabbling, you know, on social media into checking out witchcraft and occult practices like doing hexes on other people, what kind of questions should Christians ask to engage with people just to try and find out what they're thinking or why they're very interested in this particular practice?
There are probably a lot of questions that would come to mind if you found out somebody was practicing witchcraft and you had no idea. My first piece of advice there is to not assume that all witches believe the same thing. Just like we can't necessarily say that all Christians hold firm to all the same beliefs, there are some, you know, disagreements on the non-salvific issues. The same goes with witches and anybody who belongs to any worldview. We should never make assumptions about what they believe based on something you've heard on this podcast or read in an article or anything. You should really get to know that person. And so I would say, don't go in with your assumptions necessarily. Go in with the knowledge that you've gathered, but ask good questions. So for example, if you have a friend who, I'll use astrology as an example, because there are a good number of Christians who do use astrology in their daily lives. I would say, hey, Susie, I see that you have been sharing some astrology videos on your social media feed. And I'm wondering, do you really believe that those predictions are real and that they apply to your life? And if Susie says, yes, I totally buy into that, then you could ask her why. What is it about astrology that makes you feel like it's true? And what draws you to astrology? The other question you could ask of Christian witches would be, do you believe Jesus was a witch? Because that will lead you down a very interesting conversation about what it means for Jesus to have been a witch. If he was a witch, he wasn't. But some Christian witches do believe that Jesus was a witch. And if you could ask them why, and you could ask them if you feel confident in the area of biblical reliability, that might be a fun way to engage with somebody who's involved with witch talk and say, hey, I saw this video on witch talk about how the Bible isn't true. Do you believe that? And if they say, yeah, I don't believe the Bible is true, you could ask them why. Why don't you believe the Bible is true? Is there anything that I could provide that would prove to you that the Bible is true? But you will find that asking simple questions like, why do you think that way? Or why do you feel that way? Will open the door up to really deep conversation. And it's a great way through questions to get to know people, to build relationships, and to build bridges so that they'll continue to want to talk to you. This becomes especially true when we're talking to somebody who is already skeptical about Christianity and is diving full force into something like witchcraft. Are they looking for community? Have they not been offered a community in their church? Maybe they've been hurt by the church. Those are harder questions, but as you grow a relationship with someone, those relationships eventually develop into deeper, meaningful things where you learn about their past and you learn how they were raised. And I can give you so many examples of times when I've met somebody the first time and made some assumptions about who they were based on their life now. And then as conversations developed, realized, oh, you actually weren't raised the way I thought you were, or you actually had these multiple experiences that contributed to the human you are today. And I understand that more. And that gives you more of an opportunity to share what you believe and why you believe it, and why you believe scripture is true, and why you believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
So what are some specific ways, though, that Christians can share the gospel with someone that's either engaging with witch talk or with witchcraft?
This is the heart of it, isn't it? This is really what we came here for. This is why we are disciples of Christ. We are here to teach people the gospel because it is the hope within us. And that brings me to 1 Peter 3:15, which I think I've mentioned every single time I was on this podcast. It's one of apologetics' favorite verses, and for good reason, right? Like, we are engaging with people, and we are told when you engage with somebody and they ask you a question about the hope within you, speak truth, but with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared for that answer, but do so with gentleness and respect. And that is a great lesson that we should all be learning. Don't be rude. It is so easy in this era of social media to get a one-off in 140 characters. I'm on Twitter much more than I'm on any social media app. And those one-offs are just stingers. They hurt. Very often, Twitter is not used to lift you up. It's used to tear you down. And as Christians, we don't want that reputation. Unfortunately, some people think of Christians as judgmental and hypocritical, because when we start calling out sin, they'll maybe throw back, well, take the plank out of your own eye. And in some ways, they're correct. We should acknowledge our own sin, and we should repent, and we should realize that we're made whole through Christ. But the truth about witchcraft is that it's wrong. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other deity that we should ever worship. Jesus is light. And John 1:5 says that where there is light, there can be no darkness. And this is the hope within us, knowing that our Savior is here to save everyone. And we want to share that, but we don't want to be rude. So how can we balance this feeling of we're going to give truth, but we're going to do so kindly? And you do it just like that. You say, I love you. I'm in this relationship with you. I'm friends with you. I care deeply about you. We are fellow image bearers. And I want to let you know that I've spent some time evaluating witchcraft, and I've read what the Bible says about witchcraft. And I have to tell you that it just does not add up. It's wrong. And we shouldn't be engaging in sorcery. And then hopefully that will lead to deeper conversations. And I think recognizing that you're not alone in the conversation, it may be a one-on-one conversation, but don't forget that the Holy Spirit is there with you, and He handles these things all the time. So trusting Him to give us the words to speak and asking Him for wisdom and peace throughout the conversation, you may not be the person who brings that person to Christ. You may simply be planting seed. And guess what? Seed can be fruitful. It can also be weed. And we don't want weeds. We want seeds that are fruitful. And so in our conversations with others about difficult topics like this, where it gets a little scary to share truth and to profess the gospel, remember that you are not alone and that you're planting seeds. And God, to His glory, will continue to throw people in their lives that will just continue to feed those seeds.
Well, as we noted, TikTok is an app that's very popular with young people, specifically Gen Z kids. And so they will stumble across this, or something can come up in their feed that could pique their interest. So this is probably concerning for some of the parents listening to this podcast episode. So how can parents talk to their kids about the dangers of witchcraft, especially if they stumble upon, quote unquote, a Christian witch? They might think, oh, well, this is okay. This person says they're a Christian. So what are ways that parents can engage with their kids about this subject?
it can be a little frightening. And I want to let you know that even if your kids don't have TikTok, they can still access TikTok videos through other social media sites like Instagram. So don't think that just because you don't allow your kid to get TikTok, they're not watching these things. They're getting them on their friends' phones or in a variety of other places. They can still have access to this. So even if you think your kid might not be engaged, you might want to ask. I work for Mama Bear Apologetics, and this is one of those questions that we do get about how do I help my kid through this if we discover that they are engaging with any worldview, but also witchcraft. One of the things that I like to encourage parents to start with is why? Why is your child seeking out this kind of information? And a lot of times it's they're loners and they want friends. And we have to remember that many people in this generation that's coming up, they're mostly on their phones and they lack real in-person relationship and they're desperate for community. And Witch Talk offers that. There is a place for them in the world of Witch Talk. And they might relate to the people that they find there because they are welcoming and kind. And they've got some interesting things to say about spirituality and being accepted and loved for who they are. Adults need to also start talking to their kids about witchcraft. There are many opportunities in media, whether it's film or television, to begin to point out witchcraft. I think the latest one was Doctor Strange 2 for me, where I watched it. I was like, oh, that's a lot of witchcraft. And it was deeply dark magic that was being performed on my screen in my home. And it was a little jarring for me, but it gave us an opportunity to talk to our kids about witchcraft and what it is and what the Bible says about witchcraft. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that there is a real spiritual battle happening and we should tell our kids about it. We might not be able to see it, but that doesn't mean it's not real. Witchcraft is one of those things that really brings that battle to the forefront. And it shows us that humanity does want to dabble in the spirit world and not all of our intentions are good. And we can see that when there are hexing videos available. We know that not all of the intentions are good. So when it comes to social media in general, parents, adults should be vigilant that they should be checking their kids' phones. My kids know that I can go on their phones anytime, and they're not connected to the actual outside world. It's basically an iPod, but we can go on and we can look at whatever it is they're downloading and they have to ask us for permission to download things. And it's not a secret. Nothing's a secret in our home. We don't have a computer in their rooms. We don't have access to televisions outside of the living room. It's really important that parents are in their kids' lives and to not assume that their kids aren't involved in things like Witch Talk. And then if you find videos that are associated with Witch Talk or something else, you should talk to your kids about it. Use the moments that you have, it's called windshield time, where you're taking them to and from school or you're taking them to sports practice or a sporting event or whatever, dance practice. You can use that time to talk to your kids, but you shouldn't assume that just because they're in church on Sundays with you and they go to youth group on Wednesday, that they're immune because they're not. Even if they're homeschooled, if they're in a co-op, they're not immune. There's so many other things that kids can get into, and we just need to be vigilant. The other thing is that just like we would approach adults, we should approach our children in peace and with zero hostility. Listening well is so important with teens. I think if any of us can remember our teenage years, we can think back to the adults who truly listened to us and truly cared for us. And I can tell you that I still talk to those adults and they are meaningful in my life and I know I can trust them. And we want to be those adults in our own kids' lives. Be that adult in your kid's life. Talk to them and listen to them when they talk, because then they are more likely to talk to you openly and honestly when they run into issues like this. And then I would say ask them good questions and reveal the truth gently. It sounds like I'm repeating myself because I am. It's the same tactic that we would use for adults. And I hate using that word tactic, but it's just what it is. we have to tell them that teenagers are very into identity and who they are. And if we can show them that their identity is found in Christ and who God made them to be, and that they are image bearers of the one true God, our Creator, and we can remind them that they are deeply loved, not just by us, but by God Himself, and then that we're here for them, that Jesus came to save them, and reminding them of the gospel. And teaching our own kids the gospel sometimes is something we overlook, but we shouldn't. We should remind them that there is hope in Christ. And then praying with them is important, and letting them know that you pray for them. Because if it's not witch talk, Melanie, it's going to be something else. You know, and I know that the trends are constantly changing, and something else is going to come up in the next few months. And that trend is going to be a little frightening. And kids are being confronted by so many things that we were not confronted by because we just didn't have access like they do. So being mindful of what's happening in our homes and in their schools, and being ready to act when something isn't right, and then reminding ourselves and our kids and those other people in our lives that God is our refuge and our strength, and He's our fortress, and He's our salvation, and resting peacefully in that.
Well, finally, on a much lighter note, I have a fun rapid fire question for Lindsay. So Lindsay, it's September now. Are you team apple or team pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice. I had my first one yesterday.
Well, thanks, Lindsay, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks, Melanie.
You've been listening to episode 305 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Lindsay Meadenwalt, who has written an article in our print edition about evangelism to those who are participating in witch talk. Her article is called Witch Talk, Sorcery at Your Fingertips, Why the Trend is Harmful and How to Respond. And if you're not already a subscriber, you don't want to miss her article. You can subscribe to our journal for $33.50 at equip.org. Stay connected with the Christian Research Institute and all the new content we have coming your way. The best way to do that is to head on over to our website, equip.org. There you will find thousands of free resources right at your fingertips, from articles to video to audio, and it's all for free. You'll find our podcasts hosted there, as well as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which is hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and streams live every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. In addition, you don't want to miss out on subscribing to Hank Unplugged, which is the podcast of Hank Hanegraaff. And in that podcast, he has really in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people. And in addition, he has a new series on his podcast feed called Hank Unplugged Shorts, which Hank goes into the headlines in the mainstream media and refutes a lot of those cultural issues that we have in these short podcast episodes. And there's quite a few of them. You don't want to miss out on them. Now, if you want to find some of this at other places where it's all in one place, really subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a great way to get all of our content there, our podcasts there, and different individual questions theologically that people have that Hank answers at our YouTube channel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to subscribe to YouTube. I don't have a YouTube account. Well, actually, you might just have a YouTube account. If you have a Gmail address, you have a YouTube account. Just log into YouTube with your Gmail address and search for Bible Answer Man channel, and please become one of our subscribers. In addition, if you see that bell icon right there on our front page, please click that, and every time that we have new content, you will receive a notification that new content is up on our channel for you to be able to consume. So thank you so much for the ways in which you partner with the Christian Research Institute. We are grateful for you listening and reading and watching.